Hey, this is The Hustle, a podcast about product design. I'm Rick Messer, and I'm here with Anthony Armendariz.
What's up?
What's up? So we had been tapping into the pulse of what's going on around here, asking questions about what are we talking about in our studio, and onboarding, the word onboarding came up with sort of a two-pronged meaning. We've been onboarding a lot of clients lately, so there's client onboarding, but there's also some questions around the typical conventions of the way people design products and onboard their users, which I think is kind of interesting too. A lot of different ways you could go with that. So maybe we can start with the client onboarding stuff. We got a lot of new projects starting, so we're really thinking about this right now.
Yeah, it's like from all my one-on-ones with everyone in the company, and a lot of the feedback that I get is like, man, this like kicking off and onboarding a project is really stressful. I wish we could like make that better. And now we have a director of business development. You know, I think he's putting a lot more emphasis on that, you know, to deliver a good client experience, because just like an app or a product, we were trying to make someone upgrade to a pro or whatever. Yeah. Those first few interactions that you have with a client, they're going to crystallize an opinion about how well organized you are even before you start doing work. And they'll start to feel like confident in their purchasing decision or not, or, mm-hmm. you know, and it's the opportunity you have to really show them why you're different than the other company that they didn't hire. And, mm-hmm. it might seem a little like, you know, tedious, but it's actually, you know, more and more I do it, more I'm learning that it's like maybe the most important part of that process.
Of the client experience, it's a huge, huge part. And I would say like even on the end of the engagement, like as well, you know, like keeping those things like really smooth takeoff and landing is a big, big portion of the client experience. How would you describe our onboarding as it is today?
Well, because we work so differently than everyone else, you know, we've had to, you know, we had hiccups and project in the past, and you know, you and Danielle and really everyone in the company has contributed ideas to help us fix that. It seems like in a nutshell what we do is kick off, learn and meet each other, uncover the goals and opportunities, define what FundSize can bring to the table, sort of start unpacking the problem, and then onboarding for us is like, okay, well, let us show you why we're different, let us show you how we're going to work, how we use the tools, and how we think about, you know, estimating and executing the work and our philosophy and all these things that really do make, if we didn't do it, I think when we would have these false starts where people would be like, right. Whoa, what are you doing? Yeah. Or they wouldn't know what to expect, or it'd be really confusing.
Yeah. It's tough because we have a pretty specific way of working. We run agile sprint-based iterations that usually go in like 2 weeks, and like we estimate all of our work with points and stories and pivotal tracker, and we don't track time, we track velocity of that. So it takes a while for you know, clients, because they don't know what we're doing, you know, and hopefully some of that process is a good differentiating factor for us, you know, and I definitely promote, you know, anybody that wants to sell design that way, I think it's a good idea.
I think it is. You know, I was talking to Natalie and we were talking about the future of our business, and we were like, okay, well, what is it that really makes us different? Okay, we got great design. We got a great design team. We do great design work. That's unique.
Yeah.
However, it's, you know, it's not as unique because there's a lot of companies with great designers, great design team, and can produce great output. Mm-hmm. What makes us different is the process and ultimately the client experience. So, and at the end of the day, I think 5 years from now, you know, 2 years from now, more and more people will be using Agile. So that won't be as unique. So what will be our continuing differentiator is the client experience, which then starts all the way back at onboarding.
That's a good point. So not only are we selling sort of a unique client experience and the talent of our designers and the solutions to the problems we're looking for, it's like more of an experience that is a little bit different. So you have to start that early on, like in the sales process, which that's not my world at all. I don't even know what goes on. Like, I thought, I'm perfectly happy with keeping it that way for the most part. But when something comes in and we're like, okay, like now it's time to get the client oriented to our process and we're going to have a kickoff meeting, it seems like it's really hard to have a very consistent amount of things that the client knows and is expecting, like consistent expectations set before we start, because it's always a different team. Some of them are very used to Agile. Some of them, you know, some of them are doing a product for the very first time.
Yeah.
And some of them even, you know, have like a really strict process that they like to abide by. So it's really, you know, hard to fit things in, you know, and we've been kind of talking about like selling, our design services in like a certain process, but we realized too that, it's possible to miss out on opportunities, like interesting opportunities, if we are too strict around, you have to abide by our process, yeah. Right? You know, so now we're sort of thinking about onboarding different clients to different types yeah. of client experiences, which
it's making my brain explode because I mean, you have to, you know, this is off topic, but you have to have, you know, a good design team that can produce great design. Then you have to design the design team mm-hmm. and then you have to design the onboarding, the work in progress, the end, like you said, the end of the project is also right. really critical.
Right.
And then you have to design the services and then you have to design the unique,
yeah,
playbooks that designers have to like, oh, I'm on this project A has playbook one, so I need to know how to run playbook one.
By the time a canvas is opened on a designer's desk, like there is so much that has led up to that point. It's just not that simple.
Well, let me ask you a question because these kinds of things, onboarding clients is something that I've spent most of my career as a freelancer and business owner doing. And even when I was doing sales, I was starting that all the way back in the sales process. So it's not very, like, it doesn't impact me very much other than the desire to want to make it better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you just took a new position at Fundsize. You're a design director. Mm-hmm. So even though you have the support of me in certain meetings, like the kickoff meeting, what does it feel like to be responsible at a much greater level of creating that mm-hmm. client experience in the beginning and onboarding them?
Well, it's exciting because I feel like, number one, I have a absolute killer team like to sort of back me up, you know, so I get to go in with all the confidence in the world to every kickoff that we have. Like, these, you know, you guys are going to be taken care of because the people doing the work are actual badasses, and that's really all you need to, that's all the confidence that I need. I'm also like really excited about our process, so getting them through that, getting them into that. I think like it takes like a minute for clients that they're just not aware of the way we do things for it to click, like, oh, this is actually hugely beneficial to me because there's an immense amount of transparency that we allow. Like, we give them access to our Dropbox file. Like, you can see anytime what we're working on. We give them access to our Pivotal Tracker, which we update several times per day. We're posting work constantly to our clients, you know, and we don't have time to track time because of that. So we're just like, hey, it's an open book pretty much. We have a lot of regular meeting standups and design reviews and all that. So that's what I go in feeling like. I'm excited because I love our process. It's so honest and transparent, and I've got badass people backing me up. So I walk in excited for the client. The responsibility of it is just like, kind of comes with the territory. I don't know. I get the one thing I worry about is sort of like making sure that they understand that all this stuff is to benefit them and doesn't seem like, why do we have to go through all this? You know, like, I just want to see the work. And it's just, I don't know. It's like, I'm hoping that they'll like kind of like embrace that.
I think, you know, the other point that we were going to talk about today, which is onboarding users in an app, I think this is there may be an opportunity for us to productize our process,
right,
and publish something like a website or something that is a in-between interstitial stage where we're actually onboarding a new client mentally or, you know, in their own learning time before we start working. That way they have, you know.
I still think it's a good idea because, you know, you've gone to a couple conferences now and come back and just told me like, hey, like this person was like really interested in the way we work. Like they want to know more and stuff. And you're seeing more and more agencies surface that are like, we're a digital product design agency, you know, and mm-hmm. less of the hearing about, you know, really, really big agencies that are more in the traditional. So it seems to be taking a turn in a certain sense.
If we do that, we're going to run into the same challenges that a you know, digital product has. Like if you have like 10 seconds of someone's time, like what features, quote unquote, are you going to call out that mm-hmm. help them understand the value of why they want to yeah. sign up and use that?
That's tough because one thing that you have when you're onboarding clients that you don't have when you're onboarding like a big user base is their face in front of you or a little bit of context about who that person is. You might be able to sell something to somebody that you know is a particular pain point for them. Whereas when you're onboarding a larger group of users in an app, you have to be speaking to a broader audience. You don't know, you know, you may be speaking to like 10 million people, you know. So I'm just saying that the message is a lot more broad when you're like trying to design an onboarding experience for users. You don't know what problems they're going to have. You can't answer their questions. But when you're, you know, trying to onboard a client, there's a lot of considerations you can make about their unique problems. But I think that the reason that I thought, you know, it was kind of an interesting idea to not juxtapose, but just compare and look at the concept of onboarding a client versus onboarding a user is that you, like you said, you have to be selling a differentiator, like some feature that is unique about what's on the other side if they are willing to go through that onboarding process. But the idea of productizing the way we do our, you know, our process is really exciting to me too, just because it's awesome and I want other people to do it. Like it really kind of cuts through a lot of the, you know, I don't know, uncertainty of things.
Yeah.
So I'd be excited if anybody thought it was interesting enough to do, but I certainly, you know,
also thinking about like onboarding new designers, right? Like, you know, thinking about, you know, Edgar who just joined the team, I often wonder, okay, did I really onboard him? Like, did I really spend enough time with him to help him understand why we do things a certain way and what that means? And mm-hmm. thinking about that as well. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, building teams. I was listening to a podcast, I think it was Design Details or something the other day. And someone was on it. I think it was Ryan, the guy from Dropbox. Is it Ryan Putnam? Is that his name?
From Dropbox?
He used to be an illustrator at Dropbox.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's Ryan Putnam. Anyway, he, you know, they're talking about, you know, there's a lot of designers at Dropbox, and like a lot of people don't see their work because a lot of it's just like for internal stuff, you know. And he said something I thought was really interesting, which was that, you know, crafting a culture itself is a product. Like that's a product, you know. So what you're saying about like onboarding new designers and stuff, like you're creating a product that designers and employees are sort of, you know, buying, I guess. In a sense. I mean, it's definitely a trade, you know, like I'm getting this for this, my work and everything, and I'm getting this job or whatever. So, but that's the experience that you and Natalie are creating. And I just thought that was really interesting that culture is a product. You, mm-hmm. know? You have to build it. Yeah. Tend to it. I was sort of thinking a little bit more specifically like on, user onboarding type stuff, you know, because there's a lot of different choices about how you can handle that. And I think that one of the core arguments about what is a good onboarding experience or not is just how complicated it is. Because if you go through and spend like, 30 seconds to a minute trying to explain your product to the user that's holding it in their hand for the first time, like, what does that mean? Does that mean that it's too complicated? Or does that mean that you're fixing a really complicated problem and it takes a lot of, you know, I think it's hard to really say one, you know, I don't think it's good to say, you know, no coach marks ever or, you know, no onboarding experience ever. And if anybody does, that's a bad onboarding experience. You know, it's so much more related to the problem it's solving.
Yeah, there's so many. This is the one thing that's always been the hardest for me when I was doing more design work, because it's kind of one of the more subjective things. Getting into the head of, especially if you're doing it for a client, like getting into their head about how they see marketing or how they see what's, a differentiator, how they want to talk about it. And there's so many different tactics from, we'll call it like option A, where you have like feature cards and you kind of swipe through, yeah, or option B, where you're kind of going through coach marks to see to get started quickly, or something that Fee and I have been talking about just, or maybe even you and I have talked about this too, like just getting right into the product and seeing more empty states.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is where your receipts will pop up.
Yeah, right? It's like a hybrid. Like you see empty states, and those are almost like coach marks in a sense. Like, right, sometimes like you go in, there's no emails, like your emails will go here, click over here or something. You only see that when it's empty at first time user experience or whatever.
What's your perspective on, well, I know it's going to be different for every product, but let's say you're designing a new product that does something a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Do you think about it as like figuring out what the product is first and then designing the onboarding experience? Or do you think that designing the onboarding experience could help you figure out what makes it different?
Great question, man. This is perfect, because this is something that I've really been thinking about too. Traditionally, the way I had done it is like, let's just focus on making this incredible value proposition to the user by crafting a great experience. Then we can build onboarding around that, right? Let's just focus on the main experience. Forget about onboarding till the end. Then you do the onboarding at the end, because it's a tour of sorts, and you need to know where you're going with it.
Yeah.
Interesting sort of fresh new look on that. That's been my stance, and pretty much is up until recently. I was having a chat with a friend, my friend David, about onboarding, and he had mentioned, what if you designed the onboarding before you even conceived of like fleshing out features or anything, and design the onboarding to be so like compelling that you had to like basically back up how good you build the onboarding. Like, it was pretty interesting. A year or two ago at Creative South, I think it was last year, I saw Elle Luna speak. She's was a product designer at Dropbox, or I'm sorry, not Dropbox, Mailbox, before it was acquired. And she was given a talk, and one of the things that she had mentioned was that Mailbox, when they got together to solve the problem of, email, essentially, they wrote their own press release before they even designed the product.
Yeah.
And they just said, this is what we want people to be saying about this product. And they let that guide them. So I sort of applied that to the idea of, what if you did onboarding first, and then you had to sort of live up to how good that onboarding
was. I mean, you might have to make up some design, but it could help you come up with a UI that makes it compelling and different for someone to be like, okay, let's get started.
It's a different angle. And I just think that's so valuable to just have like a fresh perspective. So
I want to talk a little bit about what you just mentioned, like the press release narrative. I don't know if you do this on your projects, but I read an article, man, I wish I knew her name. She's this awesome content writer and strategist. Mm-hmm. And she has this book, Jim has it in the office. I should grab it and find her name. Anyway, she wrote a very simple blog post that was like, okay, like here are some tactics for like defining if you're a product designer, here are some tactics for doing a better job. And it was all about writing. So she was basically explaining how she walks her clients and other design teams through the process of just doing what you're just saying. Like especially if it's a new product, writing three different things. What do you want the first five sentences to say in the app store? Because that's where someone is like, seeing it for the first time and understanding, oh, this is a mailbox thing that saves you time or whatever, mm-hmm. or this is a professional enterprise mailbox thing. And then the PR release, which is how you want others to describe it in a like professional setting. And the other one is like the, I forgot what she calls it, but how you would describe it to a friend. So,
like the elevator.
Yeah. Like, cause the way an individual would describe it isn't going to be the marketing or the PR story. It's going to be like how it solved a problem for them.
And she
encourages people to start with that before they go down certain conceptual directions to arrive at one of those conclusions.
Man, that is so exciting and like inspirational. I want to try that. It just sounds like it would work, but I've never never actually put that to the test and seen an outcome. But I like that it's sort of starting with why. Why are we building this? We're building this because of, look at this app review, look at this summary in the app store, look at this, what this person said to this person. And you start solving a problem from the inside out, that kind of way. I'm really inspired by doing something like that. I think that would be pretty cool. We just have to get a client to sort of like agree that that's the right.
I think
right
Danielle approach. And Jim did that at the end of the ENSA project because they were trying to design the onboarding experience and they're like, okay, well, there's a lot of really cool features. What are the ones that really matter? And so they were trying to get Dr. Mike to go through that process of like, you know, those narratives, mm-hmm. which memory serves me correctly, helped them figure out like a way to simplify their onboarding design and the assets that they would show in the app store mm-hmm. to illustrate the key differentiators.
Yeah. Yeah. And, is that project still going or is it wrapped?
It's done. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's out there. Dr. Mike was touring the conference circuit.
And could you just explain what ENSA is just to somebody?
ENSA is a medical record, a new interesting product that helps people sync medical records. So it's a really complicated problem because medical records aren't accessible to everyone, but it's like this particular product makes it easy for people to digitize or add digital medical records to a digital experience and then serve up recommendations and stuff
and
like
that. Yeah, they have like this algorithm that gives these really good recommendations.
Yeah, and then they have like to-dos for like your medication. I guess that's what I'm saying. Like mm-hmm. a lot of products have that. That's not a core differentiator. The fact that it provides these very personalized recommendations mm-hmm. and that you can't do that without the medical record sync. I mean, that's instead of talking about five different things, they found a way to talk about just the two things that really matter.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know? I think that's interesting. I think that almost sparks another conversation about just choosing the features that you should launch with, because there's always a, let's make sure there's feature parity with this and this, you know, but then you sort of lose steam on really tweaking your core differentiators and, yeah, we could definitely talk about them. I'm like trying to restrain myself from going down the avenue and talking about that right now. But now the path that we've gone down now, how could we apply that back? You know, we're talking about products, right? How could we apply that back to the client experience, right? Could we write some sort of testimonial experience that hasn't happened yet, and then we need to elevate our client experience to that level?
I think that's right. You know, I mean, and you think, I mean, this and this applies to, you know, freelancers or agencies or people at product companies making products. I mean, I think on the client side, I think your idea is spot on. Like, you know, what would you want your customer to say? How do you want them to feel when they're being billed and when they're paying? How do you, you know, how can you build confidence in the investment in day one, you know, day two, three?
Yeah.
How can you maintain that? And then on the other side, like with the employees, I think it's the same thing. You and I know this really well because you and I largely created this process, and we are also the two people that are running engagements. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, you know, for the other people on our team and any new people that we hire, we have to onboard them really well too, so they can deliver on those same values and deliver that same onboarding experience.
I think we need to go a little deeper into the why, because, you know, a lot of times I get, you know, from both sides, other designers and also clients, just sort of like, this is how we're selling it, and this is how we're doing it, Pivotal, and it's transparent, it's great. And they're like, okay. Yeah, it sounds great. But I mean, I don't know if everyone's bought in, clients and designers as well. I don't know if everyone's bought into the idea, like owning it, like, yeah, let's do this. You know, I think some have actually, but, I think we could do a better job of getting people excited about the benefits of it, because there's a lot of benefits both for designers and clients.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Designers don't have to track time. You don't have to worry about that. You just do the work.
You don't have to work.
Clients get to see all the transparency.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the reasons why we did this was partly and initially for our employee experience. We saw the value in these things that we were creating. Like, oh, well, if we do it this way, then we'll be more balanced. We can work 4 days a week and we won't have to work more than 32 hours a week or whatever. Sometimes I wonder if we remember that, you know, and there is a benefit to us. There's a benefit to the client, you know, that just that one point, right? You're going to have a team that's like fully committed, but not burn out.
Right.
You know, and you're going to get, you know, when I ask clients what they think about fund size, almost all of them say, you guys are transparent. You know, some, I don't know, at least, I think that's something that in terms of our value prop, mm-hmm. we need to find probably a way to amplify that. And not only to our clients, but to our design teams, really embrace that, keep that going.
I think we need to not get distracted by feature parity of other agencies. And, because I think maybe that's more my problem than yours. but you know, making sure that we're doing things the right way that other agencies are, I think it can be distracting from what we're trying to do here, which is really exciting. I could imagine someone listening right now is a little curious about our process and what it means. I think we went over this pretty well in like the early last year or year before, even season one, where we talked about like, I think like episode three, the pricing episode.
Yeah. But that was before we like picked a,
yeah,
a project management tool.
Maybe we should do an episode next week about, this is how we do our process. That'd be cool too, because then a client could be like, what's your process? And be like, hey, listen to this episode.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a great idea because you're right. We did talk about when we were talking about pricing and we had another episode called Death to Time Tracking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
We were in that moment, we were trying to figure out like, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
And I think we have that figured out.
Yeah.
Of course, it's going to be just like any other product, like a continuous you know, iterations of that. And it has changed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, you know, the other thing is it definitely badly needs an update. If our process is out there for anyone to look at, we need to update because we are always changing, man. I mean, like the world keeps turning around, so we keep rolling with it. So.
Well, maybe what we can do, what you and I can do is find a way to productize our process with a cool, interesting name and then do a podcast about it and really own it because we don't really have a really good name for
it. Can you just think of a name right now and we'll just go with whatever you say?
Oh, man. No.
No? I saw that going a very funny way. How about Bibimbap? No, not that.
I mean,
that's food.
If I had to answer off the cuff, I would maybe say, you know, transparent design.
Yeah. I was thinking too, like something along the lines of agile design, you know, like how do you really adapt to that process with design? I think it's a stepping stone, from like what you might consider lean UX, mm-hmm. you know, to be,
yeah. I think a lot of agencies don't need to do this, you know, if they're using more traditional approaches because it's pretty straightforward. You estimate the work, you know, you kind of go through you have certain design reviews and stuff, but maybe what we're saying is the more and more unique and different you are, there is an opportunity to, should you choose to take it, to really help someone understand what it is you're offering.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just a better way to sell design in general because it just breaks you free from the burden of like, I was listening to another podcast. Actually, I think it was also Design Details. It was Dan Petty was on it. It was like two or three episodes ago. And you said something very similar about this to me about time tracking. But he's just like, there's no way. It's impossible to be honest with time tracking. You're going to lie on some level to your client. And so, you know, sometimes it's in their favor. Sometimes it's in your favor. But everybody you get the thing at the end of the day anyway. Mm-hmm. Like time tracking is just a little bit more like mush doggy, like, make sure you're putting in your time because I'm paying you. And that's really not what design is. Design is like we're designing a product and continuing to evolve that together with our clients. And that's what you get out of working with a good design shop, I think, if you're a product company.
I don't know if you know this or not, and I wish I'd had done my homework, but the Zurb team did a pretty good job of branding and naming their flavor of, I'll use it very loosely, agile maybe. I don't know what they call it. I think it's something like continuous design or something like that. Mm. Something along the, they have a whole section of their website where they talk about it. You guys might want to check that out.
Did Zurb start as an agency or something, or have they always been just like a product company?
From what I know, they've started out as a design. They've always been a design agency, but they do a really good job of productizing their own stuff.
Yeah, because it's like Twitter Bootstrap or whatever. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and they have a lot of, all the training and stuff they do too, I think the more experience you have in building your own products is something you said helps you eat your dog food a little bit.
Yep.
And I think that's, onboarding in general, at least in my mind, is going to be where probably I spend most of 2016 thinking about.
Onboarding and offboarding too, right?
Yeah. Offboarding sounds so bad.
It does sound bad.
It's like, get the fuck out of the ship.
You're not in the ship anymore. Yeah.
And we'll talk about that too.
Maybe we'll figure out a new term or something. Cool. I think that pretty much wraps it up for today, man. I'm excited to keep this conversation going. Maybe next week or some other time very soon we can have an episode that just goes over our process and like all the things that we think are working pretty well in terms of selling like these agile, like velocity based retainers.
Yeah. And let's go onboard a new client right now.
Oh yeah, we do actually in an hour and a half. New client onboarding. Gonna apply all the things we learned. Cool. Well, thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for listening in, and we'll be back soon.
Check it out.
This episode is brought to you by The Iron Yard. The Iron Yard in Austin is now offering a 12-week intensive program in user interface design. The Iron Yard will teach you the tools and skills you need to become a professional interface designer and then help you find a job. If you're interested in launching a new career in tech and design, visit their website, theironyard.com. Scholarships are available for the summer semester. Learn user interface design at The Iron Yard. Life's too short for the wrong career. Hustle is brought to you by FunSize, a digital product design agency in Austin, Texas that creates delightful, innovative products for mobile, web, and beyond. Visit us on Twitter @FunSize or visit our website at funsize.co.